John Steinberg. This is called we're sending from egenkraft.com, which if you're listening to this, then you know that. I call this in English the Empowerment Talk Show, and in Swedish it's called Hitta styrkan med Dr. John. And Dr. John, that's me. The purpose of the show is to explore people's strategies and strengths and their areas of interest, and sort of put words, find keywords, and mirror back to the people about, you know, what they seem to be doing right. And my guest today is Claudia Borgio, and we met about 30 seconds ago, but we've exchanged some emails with each other, and you're going to be talking about branding and brand identity, and we'll have a chance to introduce yourself in a minute or so. This program is sponsored by Beton Fabriken, which the translation would be the concrete factory, it used to be, but now it's a co-working site, and we're in a studio of abeikenkraft.com with Luis Palma Aguirre, my producer, and responsible for this sending the broadcast. We're going to be talking between 25 and 30 minutes and have a discussion about what Claudia thinks is important, what's interesting for you. And I think the topic that we're going to talk today about branding identity is very interesting for me because I'm trying to figure out whether I do it, if I do it right or if I don't. So maybe I'll get some advice along the way. You've just traveled a long distance to get here, is that right?
Yes. Directly from Peru.
From Peru. Well, I've never been there.
Yeah, you're very welcome to come.
I did a project in school in Bolivia, but that's not Peru.
Yeah, we're neighbors.
We're neighbors.
Yeah, quite different, but yeah.
Sure. Well, I'm from the States originally, but I've lived here for all my adult life. So it's fun. How much time are you here, and how much time are you?
I'm here more or less like 3 months, and then I go 1 month there, 3 months, 1 month. So I spend like 1/3 of the year in Peru and 2/3 here in Sweden.
Okay, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know each other very well, so I'd appreciate it if you'd introduce yourself. Tell me a little bit about your background and what you do and what your expertise is.
Well, I'm Claudia Borgio, as you introduced me. I am a graphic designer by profession. Okay. I started doing branding since my first job. First doing the designs and doing the logotypes and doing all the design system for a brand. And then bit by bit, I was more interested in the strategy part and getting more involved in why should be done the way we do the designs. So I started working more with that, understanding the purpose of the brand, the purpose of the company, and how to all of those concepts to put them in graphic tools in order to communicate so the brand can communicate better with different audiences. I've been working in this for more than 30 years. Mm-hmm. I have a company of my own now that it's 18 years old. I'm married with a Swede.
You look like you're 18 years old, so I don't think you're telling the truth here.
Thank you. I'm married with a Swedish man.
Okay.
So we are married 20 years already. So after some time in Peru, or a lot of time in Peru, 18 years there, he wanted to come back to show to our children their all the Swedishness, no? And so they can really live their that side of their identity. So here we are.
Okay, yeah. That's fine. Well, I have a similar story, but I moved here very early and I stayed on.
Yeah.
I've been in Sweden for over 50 years.
Yeah, I'm 2 years here. Yeah. Thanks God, I have two partners in Peru. Mm-hmm. So we run a company that we're almost 40 people. And thanks to them, I can be here. As I'm the founder of the company, they can already get rid of me that easily. So but I work from here. When I'm here in Sweden, I work online. And when I'm there, I work full-time in person. Yeah.
Wow, that's very courageous of you. I've always worked on my own. So I admire people that want to expand and to employ other people and to grow. That seems a little, I'm curious about how how you made that decision?
I think it's, in a way, and I always thought it was going to be like that. It's interesting because when people ask me that, how you became an entrepreneur, I don't know. Just since I was 20 years old, I thought that I was going to have my own company. Okay. So from my previous works, I was always thinking, oh, this I'm going to use in my company. Oh, this I can do in my own company. This I don't like for my own company. So it was like that, no?
You've always been thinking about that.
Yes, yes. Well, my mother has her own company also. So I, probably it's because I have seen that as a natural thing, no?
Well, I've grown up in a family of small business people, but they've not been very successful. They've had struggles. So I decided very early on that I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to grow. Because if you have positive experiences, it seems like it's something to do, and if you don't. You're working with companies, you're working with individuals, but mostly with companies, I assume.
Companies. We work with companies like insurance companies, mm-hmm. banks, retail.
Can you give an example of one of your most creative projects where you, when you look back on it, oh, that was successful and I did a good job and I'm pleased with the results?
Yeah, there's one brand that I like a lot. It's a small brand, actually. This was not one of the biggest. Usually with the small brands, you can do more creative work because usually the big brands, I mean, they have like a line. They are like more mainstream, so you can do like, it's harder to make more creative and distinctive work and work that can really break what is in the category, you know. With a smaller brand, you can do that because they have nothing to lose. They want to be bold. They want to be seen. They don't want to follow someone, or they shouldn't be following someone. They should be like, they should have like a position, no? So, to say, well, this, I'm different, I'm here, choose me, you know. So this is a brand that does, it's a company actually, like a small company that what they do is they work with different communities in the jungle, and they get all the insumes, like the ingredients, like coconut oil and things like that, that they are like in nature, and they give value added to those products, to those ingredients, and then they sell it. So they were launching a new chocolate brand, and it was a chocolate like a wine, no, with like with origin traces and fair trade and special flavors. Like when you go to one of those specialized stores for wine, there are special stores for chocolate, no. So they really wanted to do something different, and we make a concept as we do good because they really care about the people they work with, not only employees, but the communities that they are surrounded with. And also we do good, but we also do good products. No? So, and it's a lot of manual work. It's very artisan work. So we design, we made all with drawings and illustrations, involving hands in the packaging, and as they were working with insumes from the jungle, we make like a design that was completely surrounding the packaging everywhere. Because when you're inside the jungle, everything is full. No, there's nothing minimalistic. It's completely the opposite. So it's wild and rich, and so we try to translate that concept to the packaging, and we did the whole line, and with that we won a huge prize, international prize, that is the Penta Awards Award and the Platinum Premium, that was chosen as the best project of all the category of food packaging. Yeah.
My goodness, that's a tremendous success. But why do you think you were successful? What was your thinking on this? And what did you think in the end? What did you do right?
I think it was the first time there was this packaging that you had so bold colors that you can really trace a spirit of artisan and the jungle and raw things in with a lot of care and value added. And that was in 2013, so like 11 years ago. After that, you can see lots of them. But before that, that was one of the first ones that did that, no? We won over like products from 64 countries, more than 1,000 project. So it was something very special. So I remember that in a special way. You know, it's a special project.
Of course you do. Of course you do. But when I listen to people talk about their successes and what they do, I try to find, you see that I'm writing things down.
Yeah.
So I try to find some of the key words or phrases or concepts that people are working with. There's one word that you've used two or three times. It's bold.
Yeah.
And that's interesting because that's an approach to life, an approach to work, an approach to working with customers. Be bold.
Yeah. Especially when you work in design, you want to be bold. You don't want to be someone that is not noticed. And for being bold, you have to be different. You have to show something unique. You have to surprise a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
But when have you been bold in your life, in your personal life? If I ask, you don't have to answer that. But I mean, bold is a symbolic for many life choices.
Yeah, it's true. It's funny because to say, I have learned that here in Sweden, people don't say those answers. They are more humble.
Yeah,
but I'm not Swedish, so it doesn't matter. Well, I think that I dare. That's why I'm here in Sweden, no? When I'm 52 years old, I came when I was 50. So it's that's a bold change. I think that... I like adventures. I really like to try new things. Mm-hmm. And there's a word that I have courage, but with caution. It's not, I don't diving in.
No. But that's courage with caution. I often find in my conversations with people, that when you combine the two opposites, it often gives something special in the middle. I say I'm an educator, so I feel teachers, they're warm, but they're also organized and structured. And when you have that in balance with each other, it often works fairly well. So
it's true. It's true.
Courage with caution.
I like to take risks, but I don't like... to jump to something that I know that is going to be empty and I can break something. No, I like to take a risk, but with some caution in order to have a backup plan.
Fine. Well, there was a couple other words that I think were interesting here. You only said this word once, but I think it sums up very much. Spirit. What does that mean to you, spirit?
Because when you work with brands, you have to understand and get the spirit of the brand, because that is what moves the brand. That is what is the purpose of the brand. That is what makes the brand connect to people, and people emotionally connect with the brand. So I think that everything we do is we start finding the essence of the brand, or the spirit of the brand. And it's like a human being. No, if you don't have spirit, you're dead.
But if you look around at some of the brands that are out there that have been successful, what are some examples of companies that have this, show their spirit?
Understand their spirit. It's easier always to make these examples with brands that everybody knows, no? Like, for example, Apple. Yeah. So I'm a designer, I'm a designer also, so that is a brand that I know since I started working in design. And the spirit of the brand has very much to do with design lovers. Because Steve Jobs, he was a design lover himself. He was the first computer system that had different typographies, not the one with dots like Microsoft, because I still remember those ones. So it was purely love of design. And I think that was the essence. That is why he made so good interfaces in order to the user to be very comfortable, even with all the products that he has been launching afterwards. I mean, it's very easy to use, very natural. You don't have to receive a manual. It's completely, I don't remember the word in English, but intuitive, that is the word.
Well, the spirit is a thing that you can feel that with different products, of course. and also different individuals. I think I see that in you. I think you are an energized person with a clear idea of values, and that gives you spirit, and it gives you enthusiasm, and it gives you trust in yourself as well.
Thank you.
And you communicate it in an interesting way. All right, there was another word here, caring. When you have to care about the product, you have to care about the client, you have to care about the purpose.
Yeah. You do have to connect. You do have to care. It's, for example, yesterday we were having a meeting with my team, and we were saying, okay, we want to go abroad, Peru. We already work with companies in Ecuador, some in Bolivia, some in República Dominicana, Dominican Republic. And right now we are interested in going to Mexico, for example. Mm-hmm. And my team was saying, let's approach this company, let's approach this other one. And there were a couple of companies that they are doing products that I don't agree with. So I said, no, I don't want to approach that one because I'm not going to be in love with the product, so I cannot really work with them. So I do think that you have to, for doing a product that connects, that you love, you put all your soul designing and doing something beautiful. And if you don't believe in the product, then you cannot help the client to sell.
That's true.
Yeah.
I have all these thoughts for my own little company, and what I do right and what I do wrong. So, but one thing we have in common is caring, and I think that shows in the work that I do. And I think it's important that you love what you do, but you're also showing that you love and care for the product and people that you're working with.
Yeah, yeah, it's true, and it's a fun work because. It's not like, I suppose that people that do more like structural work, also they love what they do, but they follow more processes, no? And they follow what they have to be done. And I mean, anyhow, they can be creative in inventing or trying new ways. But when you work in design or in anything that is like more in the human side or the artistic side, you put yourself there. So it's a different thing. It's a different way of working. Because everything comes, especially in art or design, comes from within.
Well, if I were a new client, let's say I was thinking of starting my own business, and I had this idea and I would go to you as a consultant, what are like the first three questions that you would ask a new client?
Well, first, what do you want to do with your company? Mm-hmm. I mean, where do you want to take your company? Because every business owner has their own dreams. Mm-hmm. Some dream big. And they really want to go far. And some, they dream more in a constrained way. And they're okay with that. So obviously, we always make the questions. And we question why and how and when and where. But the one who decides is the client. Sometimes with our questions, they evolve a little bit from where they started. But yeah, what do you want to do with your company?
What do you want to do is the first question.
Yeah. And then, why you do that? What is your motivation for doing this kind of service or product? Or what is how do you start it? Because usually when a company starts, it's because there is a dream from someone and that wants to achieve something or wants to serve in a certain way or want to do something. So we are always trying to understand the motivation that make the entrepreneur do what they do. And also it's like we always try to find the story of the brand. It's like how, when, what happened. Because in the story, there is always a lot of different insights from their clients, from the situation, from how they approach different things, where you can really get the storytelling, beautiful storytelling for combining these other two questions in order to make, like, sorry, to tell to your clients, no?
I'm nodding my head because I relate what you're saying to my own travels, but I mean, I'm not going to take up time. This is not a consulting session with me. We can get to that.
I'm very happy. Feel free.
Well, let me see. But I was thinking before you came here, I was thinking, you know, what do I know about branding? Or in my case, if I just 1 minute about myself here. So, I've worked doing basically the same thing for 50 years, giving lectures for teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been very consistent. And I think there's two words, consistency and persistency, that I've often heard in marketing. That you know, you have a road you're going to travel and you stick to it, and you can take different ways. I use empowerment as a metaphor. So my metaphor is a river. The empowerment river, and the tributaries to the river are the different things that I do that contribute. The books and the lectures and the homepage and all that kind of stuff. And that's been a good metaphor for me.
Oh, that's a very nice metaphor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I believe in that branding, it's actually what people say about you mm-hmm. when you're not there. That is your positioning. Sure. That is what you have built. Mm-hmm. That is... what defines mm. what other people define of you, mm. no? It's your is what they see and what they remember. So that is what is we talk about personal branding. That is always what we should aim, no? So because at the end we're making an interpretation of a role,
right.
Because we are several persons. We are the professional, the family. The I don't know, the neighbor, the daughter. I mean, you are lots of different roles. But in the professional side, for example, it's like what is the impression you make to the other person in a way that they remember you with the kind of work that you do, the personality that you have, the values that you have, and your work ethic, for example, and what they remember, that is your brand.
In my case, again, a personal reflection is it's trusting. I have a very high level of lowest quality. So that they know that if I come to give a lecture, the chances are very good that it will work. Always reply to their questions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trustworthy. And they, can, you know, they know that, okay, if John comes, it'll work out. And I think that's one reason why I've been able to do this for 50 years.
Yeah, I think that people want to work with people that they can trust.
Mm.
That is the first, I think that is the first signal of that you can join someone, that you can hire someone. As a provider, for example, I have pride of myself that I'm a responsible person. Even if I lose money, even if something goes wrong, whatever, I'm going to be there for finishing the project in the
right.
best way possible way, you know, for the circumstances. So I think that I have got a reputation that my company is a trustable company, and big clients especially, they need to trust in order to hire.
I think that's a very key concept. Trust. I'm going to write that up. I'll make notes for them later. But that trusting, I think that's very key. And they have to trust in you, the person, they have to trust your company, and they have to have faith that this will work.
Yeah. I've been working in design for more than 30 years. And when I started my own company, people told me, why don't you make that company your name? You're the one that does the things, and you're the one known. You know? You're going to hire people, but use your name. And I always thought, I was starting, you know? I was 30 years old, so I was young. So I always said, no, I don't want to be one person company. I want to be a company that I can invite, and people, I mean, really professional people want to join, not because they want to be in my back, but they want to be in my side. So I founded the company, but 5 years later, I invited one of the persons that are working with me, one of the professionals, to be my partner. And 5 years ago, I invited someone else. This is my second partner, well, the third partner in the company. So I think that making a brand that is not me becomes a brand in itself, with like picking up the best of every partner and the best of the team. And that it's also inspiring, because other people in my company may think, okay, I want to be a brand of, I want to be a partner also of this company. And why not?
That's an interesting perspective on things. I'm thinking that we talked a little bit about Apple and Steve Jobs. Well, you can even name a company after a fruit.
Yeah, for example.
Yeah, it's a good thing you didn't name it Jobs.
Yeah, it's
Jobs
true.
And Jobs. It doesn't.
Yeah, it's not inspiring.
It's not inspiring at all.
Yeah.
And Apple, there's an example that I use sometimes in advertising. They say if you combine the known with the unknown, there's a famous story about a marketing campaign for 7-Up, the clear drink.
Yeah.
And they marketed it as the un-cola. Everybody knows what a cola is, but what's an un-cola?
Yeah.
And that helped their sales and things like that.
Yeah.
A name that says, well, what do they do? What is that?
Yeah. It's like Apple, no? Mm-hmm. Apple was born in a time of IBM, NEC, all the initials and things like that. And it was something like when you start with a small company, you have to be bold. You have to break the rules a little bit and show that you're here to make things in a different way. And that is why he chose Apple. That was completely different. No? Usually we try to do things like that, because especially nowadays, there's hundreds, thousands, millions of brands in different categories. In the same category, you want to say, I want to make a new company doing shoes or whatever you want, or ketchup. And you can find hundreds of different brands. And so you cannot just do what the mainstream do, because then you want to be one more in the bottom and later and not really seen. No?
I think one of the challenges is combining the emotional with the rational. I mean, it's obvious that everybody talks about this now. You're making an emotional connection to your clients. In my case, I'm a rational person, so I give people arguments for my brand, or but I don't connect to their emotions about it.
That's what you think.
That's what I think.
Yeah, because people,
I'm emotional when I'm on stage.
We are all emotional. Even you are an emotional person.
Yes.
And you have all this rational because you believe that is what you should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And but at the end, you're a human being, and there's no human being without being emotional.
Well,
it's a similar. It's a synonymous.
When they meet me, they know I'm emotional. If I give a lecture, they know that I'm emotional. But in the marketing campaigns, I'm almost 100% rational. This is a reason. This is what this is, and I'm not a storyteller. I understand that, but I would need help to get that. This is very, very interesting. Where is your company going in 5 years?
I have the dream to go worldwide. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, obviously we're starting in Spanish-speaking countries.
Right.
So there is, we are already in the region with some clients, but we want to be stronger in a couple of big countries. And
how are you going to do that?
Well, actually, we are doing some trips, because in our country, in my country, there is an organization that promotes the selling of services.
Right.
So they have invited us to go to a commercial mission in Mexico. In a month and a half.
Okay.
So we are already talking to some companies there to offer our services.
Okay.
So I think that, and we have done that in Colombia also. We have done a couple of projects there, in Ecuador also. So we are traveling together with this company in order to open different possibilities. And we are relaunching our websites in 2 more months. Before it wasn't just in Spanish, now it's going to be also in English. And with lots of different cases, and we are also working on our all the social media. Nowadays, it doesn't matter where you work. I'm here in Sweden, I work for my clients in Peru.
Right.
So it doesn't really matter where you are. No.
Well, that's great. I love the vision part of what you're describing. I love the phrase of courage with caution. And I love the phrase of boldness. And these are things that I'm going to reflect upon for my own way forward. Claudia, we're going to have to end our conversation now. We'll talk a little bit afterwards. But I appreciate you coming. I wish you all the success in the world. And I know because of your personality and now your experience that I'm sure things will go well for you.
Thank you.
So thank you very much for coming. We are broadcasting from Van Garn outside of Sigtuna at Betongfabriken, which is also the sponsor for this show. I have my producer, Luis Palma Aguirre, doing the technical work here in the studio and helping us record. I appreciate that very much. Luis also works with a little bit personal branding or personal growth and has his ideas about helping people find their calling. So there are many things that are shared between the three of us. And two of you speak Spanish.
Yeah, that is wonderful.
I'm trying to learn French, but that's been a fiasco. I'll switch to Spanish. I have some coaches here in the room. But thank you very much for listening. If you want to share this or listen again, the audio broadcast will be put on the website of egenkraft.com and in a couple of days. And I will also, we're also recording on video, and this will be put on the Empowerment Talk Show with John Steinberg in a couple of days once I do the editing. And I appreciate all the listeners out there. Thanks for following along on the program. And share the website of egenkraft.com and look for me on my YouTube channel. Thank you very much. John Steinberg is my name, and we've been interviewing Claudia Borchio. Thank you very much.
Thank you for inviting me and for the people who will listen to this episode.
Have a nice day.